To the book of First Thessalonians, First Thessalonians chapter one. We've been reading and started reading, and Lord began to speak to my heart about some areas to deal with in the book of First Thessalonians, and we're going to be in chapter number one, chapter number two. I preached out of this passage Wednesday night, and we're going to look at it again. If you have your place, I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able to, physically able to, would like to, in reverence to the Word of God. Begin reading in verse of chapter number one. The Scripture says in chapter number one, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Well, that's a powerful statement right there. Knowing, brethren, your election of God. Verse 5 will be a verse that we'll launch our message from this morning. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse number 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I like that, don't you? In verse number 6, they received the word. And of course, verse 5 shows us what the word, what kind of word, and what needs to be associated with the word in order for people to receive it. That word of God, that gospel comes in not in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. And of course, if you have that happening in verse 6, you'll have people receiving the Word of God. You'll have people receiving the Word of God in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. And then they'll become in samples. They'll become examples in samples in verse number 7, verse number 8. Then from you sounded out the Word. That's the way God intends for it to happen, isn't it? He intends on you to hear the word, receive the word, and then from you, sounding out the word. He sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You ought to mark those three stages right there. That's true in everybody that's saved. You have a turning to God from idols to serve the living God. If you don't line up with them three right there, something's wrong. You ought to say, turning from, check. Turning from, that's part of repentance. Turning from, you can't turn to till you turn from. He said, turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And Lord, we beseech you this morning that you will grace us with your presence. We need your power. We need the unction. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. I pray for the power, Lord, that verse number 5 was talking about. The word of God didn't come in word only, but in power. Lord, we need that. We don't need just to give out the word only. We need it to be associated and anointed with power this morning. Lord, and that power is not human power. It's not physical power. Lord, it's not power of performance. It's the power of God. And Lord, I pray that the power of God will move this morning. And Lord, that there will be lives changed. Speak to us, Lord, in these moments together. Save sinners, stir the saints of God, and get all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Keep your Bibles open there, and our text passage is going to be in, or at least to start with, it's going to be in verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Look at chapter 2, if you would, in verse number 4. Look at chapter 2 in verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, note that statement. As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Amen. Excuse me just a minute. Brother Silas, if you will come here, please. I need you to take that to my wife. She needs it desperately, and I'm depending on you to do that, all right? All right, in chapter number 1, in verse number 4, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. And then in chapter 2, verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Now, the word of God is very clear that the gospel is called, in many cases, it's called the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in some verses, it is called the gospel of God. And there's other variations of that title and reference through in the New Testament. The gospel of the Lord, the gospel of God. But what caught my attention and for the message this morning is what verse number 4 of chapter 1 says. Or verse 5 of chapter 1, for our gospel. Yes. Now that caught my attention, Brother Randy, that it's not here called the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's not called the gospel of God, but it is called our gospel. What about that? Right. It is called our gospel. Amen. Listen to this. And also in Romans chapter number 2 and verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Paul said that. According to my gospel. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. What about that? And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Note those two verses, my gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3, everybody's familiar with this verse. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now the word gospel is the same in every reference where it's talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the gospel of God, or if it's talking about my gospel, or if it's talking about our gospel. Amen. Of course, Galatians deals with those that went away from the gospel unto what he said was another gospel. Of course, that would be a false gospel, and there is that being preached today across the country and around the world, a false gospel. But I'm not interested in exposing the false this morning. I'm interested in magnifying that which is true, that which is genuine. But the statement that got a hold of my mind, and that's what I want to preach on this morning, is our gospel. Our gospel. Amen. How does the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how does the gospel of God become our gospel? How does it become my gospel? What about that? And I want to deal with that this morning, if the Lord will help me. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. I believe the very first way that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our gospel, or more personally, my gospel, it becomes our gospel personally in salvation and substitution. Now, when we're talking about the gospel, does everybody understand what we're talking about? Well, let me make sure we understand. I don't want to take anything for granted, even though I'm in a town that's got steeples stuck in the air everywhere, and everybody goes to church, and everybody's saved. I don't want to take it for granted that maybe someone here today don't know what the gospel is. You want to know? I think we ought to know. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So we're fixing to find out what the gospel is. "I declare unto you," he said, "the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received." Let me just read the verse again. I've jumped in part of it and read part of it and missed part of it. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." How many of us believe still yet that it takes the gospel for people to get saved? Nobody gets saved until they come in contact with the gospel. Hello. The gospel. Amen. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So nobody gets saved by seeing a light. Nobody gets saved by having a dream, having some kind of vision. You get saved when you come in contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we send missionaries. Because when you send a servant, you're sending the seed. You're sending the story. You're sending the message. Look what it says. Verse number 2 again. "By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory which what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Look in verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I have received." Here comes the gospel now. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Verse 4. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is simple. That is the simplicity of the gospel. I'm glad God made it simple, or I would have never got in. Amen. But how does the gospel of the Lord Jesus become my gospel or our gospel? I read to you the verses and I explained that where it's talking about our gospel. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Amen. And our gospel came not in word only, but in power of the Holy Ghost and so forth. And so how does it become our gospel? It does so in salvation and substitution. Now, what are you talking about, substitution? Well, let me just ask you this. How many of you believe that the death of Jesus really should have been yours? How many of you believe that cross that he hung on the... let me back up. How many of you believe the scourging of the cat of nine tails when they tied him to the post and took that piece of... those straps that had bone and glass and pieces of metal in it, and nine of them long, and they would
throw it and they would jerk it off of people's backs, and it would literally, when it would hit, it would grab meat and muscle and literally rip it off of the back of Jesus. How many of you believe that that really should have been your beating? After all, Jesus didn't do nothing. He had done nothing wrong. He had been guilty of nothing but loving sinners and doing good and honoring the Father's will. So we already said that the beating of the Lord should have been mine. The cross of the Lord Jesus should have been mine. The, ladies and gentlemen, the crown of thorns should have been mine. The piercing in the side should have been mine. That should have been me that was being spit on. That should have been me, my friend, that they had stripped and hung between heaven and earth in open shame. Amen. You can't look at a painted picture of Calvary and of the Lord Jesus and get a scriptural view of what Jesus went through. They paint these little pictures, Brother Randy, of a little trickle of blood here and a little trickle of blood there. I want to tell you, friend, Jesus, the Bible said in Isaiah 53, His visage was marred more than any man. That meant you couldn't even tell He was a man. He looked like He'd been run through a meat grinder. He looked, amen. Oh, you say that's awful, preacher. No, that's marvelous, because that's going to be the most wonderful thing in heaven. It's when we view the body of the Savior, we'll be reminded forever that it was His sacrifice, that it was Him that took my place. He was my substitute. Instead of me dying, He died in my place. Instead of me being put to open shame and encountering the full wrath of God, He took my place. How does the gospel of the Lord Jesus become my gospel? When I believe in faith, God reckons His death to be my death. God reckons His burial to be my burial. He reckons His resurrection to be my resurrection. And the gospel is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Therefore, it becomes my gospel. Oh, my soul, it becomes my gospel, because the Galatians 2:20 says, "For I am crucified with Christ." Amen. I wasn't crucified. Jesus was crucified, but I was crucified with Christ through the doctrine of substitution. And you know, listen, we don't have to spiritualize that. That's literal. And let me give you the example. Who was it that was in the jail that was guilty of the crimes that had already been tried, that had already been found guilty, and had already been sentenced to die by crucifixion? What was his name? Barabbas. He knew the day of execution was coming. And I could hear him possibly as he hears the keys rattling as the soldier makes his way down the hallway. And comes and approaches his jail cell. And he thought, well, today's it. This is my last day on planet Earth. I'm dying for crimes that I justly committed, or that I committed, and I'm getting the due reward for my crimes. And all of a sudden the door swung open, and the soldier looked at Barabbas with a puzzled look, as such as he'd never heard of, never seen before. And he said, I don't understand all of this, but you get to go free. And I could see Barabbas as he said, well, but wait a minute. I'm sure he stuttered. Amen. I would have. He said, but how could that be? I've been caught. I have been sentenced. This is what's coming to me for the crimes that I've committed. How is it that I'm going free? Oh, you're not getting off the hook far as people ignoring the law. The law's got to be satisfied. The wages of sin is death. Amen. The key to it is this, Barabbas. There's a man named Jesus that's taking your place. Well, what's he guilty of? Nothing wrong. He's never done anything amiss. Amen. Who was it? Was it Pilate that judged him and said, I find no fault in him? Oh, yeah. Well, why is he dying? I could hear Barabbas ask the soldier. Well, why is he being crucified? He's innocent. I'm guilty. He's just. I'm unjust. How is it that he's dying? Substitute. He's your substitute. He's going to satisfy what the law demands. He's going to undergo the wrath of God in your behalf, and you get to go free. You can't beat a deal like that. Thank God for Jesus. Oh my, we ought to love Him so much this morning for the how He died in our place. He suffered our death and our hell and the wrath of God in our behalf. Listen to this verse of Scripture. I done quoted part of it. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen to this. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. How is it that the gospel of Christ becomes the power of God unto salvation? You say the gospel in and of itself, is it by itself and of itself, is it the power of God unto salvation? If that's the case, then everybody that Jesus died for would be saved. And we know that Jesus died for the world. Right? He died for every man. Hebrews 2:9, He tasted death for every man. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So just the gospel in itself will not save you. Now don't swallow too hard. I'm not in heresy here. I'm going to reveal a truth. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can only be effective. Here's the way I wrote it. Here's the way I wrote it down. The death of the Lord Jesus, His burial and resurrection, it is sufficient for every man. But it's only efficient if you believe. So with that said, the only way the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can become the power of God to me, for me, in me, to salvation is through those that believe. That's what's in that verse, isn't it? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that... the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. When you exercise saving faith, believing, trusting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, in his records, says, you have died. You were buried. And you are risen again. You have life. Well, how is that? Substitution. Jesus took my place, praise God. So Galatians 2:20 says we're crucified with Him. Romans 6 tells us that we're buried with Him. Romans 6 also, among other verses, tells us that we have risen with Him. We are raised with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. So I died with Him. I was buried with Him. And I rose with Him. What's the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection. When I believe, God said the gospel happened to you. The power, it become the power of God unto salvation. As you died with Christ, you was buried with Him, and you rose again with Him. That's how you get saved. You can't get saved by works. How could you possibly satisfy the broken law of God with your life? Hello. That's a good question, isn't it? You say, well, preacher, I'm dying to do the best I can. The best you can won't get it. The Word of God in the book of James tells us that if you've offended the law of God in one point, you're guilty of all. Let me ask you a million-dollar question right here. Brother Fultz, if you was outside playing with your BB gun, he probably does, I don't know. But he were to shoot this window with his BB gun, and all it did, Brother Mark, was make one little small BB hole. He offended that window in one point. Would we just have to patch up that hole, or would we have to replace the whole window? We'd have to replace the whole window. You say, but preacher, he only made one little hole. It doesn't matter. He's guilty of all. So it is with you. You can't get saved on your works. That's why Jesus died. Amen. So the gospel becomes our gospel personally through salvation and the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this verse right here. If you don't think faith makes the difference that makes his gospel saving to us, here's what Hebrews 4 and verse 2 says. For unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. So we got two different crowds here. Unto us and unto them. He said, for unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Hey man, come on now. Are y'all trying to stay with me? What was the word that was preached? The gospel. For unto us was the gospel preached. And then he goes on in that same verse and said, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So why didn't they get saved? They heard the same gospel. They didn't believe it. They didn't have any faith in them to believe it. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Listen, for in Christ Jesus, listen to what Paul said, I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul said, I won you to Christ. You got born again through the gospel that I preached to you. Amen. I like it. Thank God I'm saved here today, because Jesus Christ took my place. He fulfilled the gospel. He fulfilled the gospel. When he died on the cross, he satisfied the law of God. He satisfied the law of God in my behalf. He satisfied the wrath of God in my behalf. Hey, you know, listen. You know why I can't go to hell today? There's nothing against me. Now, don't get too excited about that. And I certainly don't want to spend 30 minutes defending that stand. And you say, well, if there's nothing against me, I'll just go live as I please. That's a test. That's an attitude of a lost person. A person that said, well, I'm saved, now I can go live as I please, is a L-O-S-T person. Lost. Amen. When God saved me, he changed my heart toward sin, changed my heart toward God. Amen. You don't want to see how far out you can get. You want to see how close you can get to the Lord. Amen. Well, it become my gospel in salvation and substitution. I'd like to preach more on that. But number two, it become my gospel or our gospel, not only in personally in salvation, but it become my gospel or our gospel in partnership in sharing. Partnership. Listen to this verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 17. Everybody listening? For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation, Paul said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It become my gospel, our gospel, because God put it in your hands. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, Paul said, which was committed to my trust. When you give somebody something, you are entrusting them to carry out the commission. God put the gospel, entrusted it to you. Yes. That's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, our text passage, or one of our text verses. Listen to it. I'm going to read it again. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. How does it become my gospel? How does it become our gospel? It becomes ours in substitution or in our salvation. When we become identified with Christ. And listen, boy, this right here will help you. Jesus died for you. Do you understand that? And that means a lot to us, right? But here's something far more personal than that: Jesus died for you. He died as you. If you get a hold of that, you're probably going to get excited. And not only are you going to get excited, you're going to fall head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ for paying your sin debt. Amen, that's right. He died not only for me, he died as me. And when God looked at that man hanging on the cross, he looked at him as me. Because the Bible said he became sin for us. My soul. What a message. What a gospel. What a truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, we was put in trust with the gospel. We was put in trust. Now watch this right here. Look at verse 4 quickly. But as we were allowed of God, that stuck out to me. I thought, I wonder what that means. So I looked it up, and that word allowed, it means to be tested, to examine, to approve. God is looking to put into the hands of those that he has tested. And that those that are genuine, those that are have been examined. I'm going to make this statement. I don't reckon I've ever made it before. I've thought it for years, but I've never said it. I don't believe God calls anybody to preach that is not spiritual first. I don't reckon, Brother Brad, I've ever said that before, but I've sure thought it a long time and thought it through a lot. Amen. God don't call anybody to preach that's living a half-hearted carnal life. No, he entrusts into your hands those that the Bible said has been allowed of God, that has been tested of God, has been examined of God. Amen. And he says something about that in verse 2 of chapter 2. For even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which it, with contention. For our exhortation, verse 3, was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. You know what those three little excerpts tells us? Paul said, I have been given the gospel because I have suffered. You think God's going to use you or me if we can't even be faithful to the house of God? You think God's going to put into your hands the holy message that he intends to save the world with when you don't even read your Bible every day? When you don't even have a prayer life that's halfway consistent? God is looking for those to put into your hands the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he, the Bible says, is allowed. Amen. I'm not saying now that God's going to call everybody to preach. But I know this, you can't do nothing with the gospel if the gospel hadn't done anything with you. Amen. That's right. To be put in trust with the gospel. And by the way, that word allowed there, which means to test or to prove or to be approved, there are many verses that word is used in, but can I give you one that really helps us to see it? Luke chapter 14 and verse number 19, the disciple that Jesus said, follow me, and he said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, let me go and prove them. He said, I got to go prove them. He said, I got to go test them. God's going to test you to see if he can trust you with the gospel. I've never seen, come on now, let me preach a minute. I've never seen so many sunshine Christians in my life. That's all they're interested in. Amen. And that's what some people are looking at for a church. I mean, brother, listen, they're glory hunters. That's all they're interested in. They come to this church or that church, and they'll stay while it's on the mountaintop and people are shouting and a lot of things is happening and people's getting saved. And then all of a sudden a winter time comes, and that does happen to every church. A winter time happens to every Christian. You go through times it seems like that you're just dead and dry and cold and distant. That happens to all of us. But how many people, listen, when it happens, instead of growing through that, they leave and go somewhere else where they're shouting. You'll never grow like that.
You never grow like that. No. No, sir. You won't ever grow like that. Listen, God wants to test us. And amen. How many people, they get saved and they think, glory to God, this is the best thing to ever happen to me, this getting saved business. And it is. And then the next thing you know, a trial hits, a battle hits, an unexpected something comes, and all of a sudden they're out and you're gone. Where's the people that says, God, help me to pass the test? When people talk about me, when people don't like me, whatever the case is, God, help me to stay true. Help me to stay true. I wonder, Brother Silas, how many, if they were like Paul, would have ever gotten saved to start with. Read Acts chapter number 9. God sent, who was it God sent to Saul, or to Paul's house? Ananias, that's right. My mind went blank. Ananias. And you know what God told Ananias to tell Paul when he told him? Said, go show him. Not only tell him he's a chosen vessel, and he's going to bear my name to the Gentiles, but he said, you go tell him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. Yeah, boy, that thinned him out, wouldn't it? Huh? How many people say, I still want to get saved? Oh, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to be suffered. I'm going to be despised. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be talked about. Amen. That's going to happen. I still want to get saved, Lord. No, most of us say, what? That is going to be a part of my life. If I follow you, if I be identified with you, that's the way I'm going to be treated. A lot of people would walk off and never get saved.
That's true.
Come on. I think we've sugar-coated the gospel to the point that people think it's a little stroll through the park and a little lollipop message. God help us. No, we need to tell sinners, you get saved, the devil's going to put his crosshairs on you. You get saved, the devil's going to hate you. Amen. Well, I don't think you have to sugarcoat the gospel. Amen. Well, I'm going to go on here. Here's what the Bible said. He said in verse number 4 that he put in trust. That word trust means, he said, I've entrusted this to your care. I've committed this to you. I've given this to you. Amen. I've told you, here's what I want you to do with this. And he still ain't done it. Still hadn't done it. But listen to what happened. That word trust, this is good. I entrusted my soul to the Savior, right?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Do you think it's just a one-sided street? No. I entrusted my soul salvation to the keeping of the Lord. Amen. And I'll read you a verse for that. But in return, he entrusted me with the gospel. I give him, Brother Frankie, my guilt. I give him my sin. I give him my soul. He gives me his gospel. Yes, sir. 2 Timothy, what is it, chapter number 1? I wrote the verse down, but I didn't write the chapter down. Chapter number 1, verse 12. For which cause also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom, listen, here comes our word, trust in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. I know in whom I have, here it is, believed. That's what you do when you believe. You don't give a mental assent to some scriptural facts. No, brother, when you trust the Lord for salvation, you put your soul and your eternal destiny into the hands of a trustworthy God. But what does he do? He gives us his gospel. It becomes our gospel in personally in salvation. It becomes our gospel in partnership in sharing. I'll read you this right here real quick. 2 Corinthians, listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Everybody's quoted this verse so many times, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look what it says, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Can anybody say amen right there? Can anybody say thank God? I have been reconciled to God. Sin separates you from God. Sin separates you from God. You can't get back to God. You can't. You don't have any ability. So here's how it happens. God become incarnate in flesh through the virgin birth. Jesus Christ came here. He is the Son of God. That allows him to reach and get the hand of God. He's the Son of God. He also is called the Son of Man, which makes him our kinsman, makes him our relative, so he is qualified to redeem us. So the Son of God has connections with God. The Son of Man, he has connection with Adam's race. And he reaches and gets those, and in his body reconciles us back to God. Son, that's good right there. Reconciles us. Look at it. He said, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Here it comes. And hath given to us. Wait a minute. Lord, all I want you to do is reconcile me to God, and that's it. No, God said, You're mine now. And I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ. That's what I've illustrated right here. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Thank God for that. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, in light of those verses, in light of those truths, we are ambassadors of Christ. For Christ. Everybody see that word for? Everybody see that word F-O-R? He said, now then, now that you're saved, now that you're a new creature in Christ, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. That now then that you are reconciled to God, and God has given to us the word and the ministry of reconciliation, now then. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That word for is used again in this verse, except it's different. Look at verse 20. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. Here it comes, by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. The word for means in his stead. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors in his stead. U.S. has ambassadors. Our country has ambassadors. And they go to foreign countries and carry out the will of our government and our commander-in-chief, if we had one. I had to insert that little carnal thought. But an ambassador is there doing the work that he was sent to do. God said, we are, now that we're saved, we are ambassadors. We're standing in his stead. We've got his message. He's given to us the gospel of himself. What are we doing with it? What does the gospel mean, Brother Silas? I've heard you tell it many times. The gospel means what? Good news. Right? The gospel means good news. But is it good news to those that died yesterday? The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Thank God for our people around here that serves the community, the ambulance service, the fire squad, the fire departments, and all of those type things, the hospitals, the doctors, all of that is good. But what good, ladies and gentlemen, is a fire truck when the house is already burnt to the ground? What good is EMS and the ambulance service when you've already expired? None of those things. A doctor is not any good to the person that's already dead. The gospel is no good to those that are already in hell as I speak. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Right. And by the way, the gospel doesn't have any feet or hands of itself. If it don't get there, it's our fault. Number three, write this down, I'm done. Not only is the gospel our gospel in part, personally in salvation and substitution, but it's also our gospel in partnership and sharing. But I just want to mention this thirdly, it's our gospel practically. Practically. It's our gospel practically. So where do you get that at? Well, it's several places. Let me just give you a couple of them. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How do we hide our gospel, Brother Fulton? We hide our gospel by how we live. We hide the gospel by living a life of hypocrisy. We hide the gospel, my friend, from the eyes of sinners when we live like they live and talk like they talk and do like they do. If our gospel be hid. So, listen now, I'm still in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4. Talks about our gospel being hid. It's hid to them that are lost. Verse number 7 says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The gospel. God has put the gospel in an earthen vessel, which is talking about your body. Listen to verse number 10 of that same chapter, and verse 11 also. Also bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The gospel is in our mortal flesh. The gospel is his death. He said we're bearing about in the dying of the Lord. We're bearing about the dying of the Lord in our bodies. Why? So that his life can be seen. What life? His resurrection life. That's the gospel. How is it, ladies and gentlemen, do you and I, now it's been quiet this morning. It's fixing to get quieter. Because I am not dealing with our position in Christ now, in salvation, in his substitution. I'm dealing now with the fact of how you live, my friend, covers up the gospel or either it reveals the gospel. Oh, preacher, surely you're not going to get on that. Oh, yes. Yes. No telling how many people's in hell as I speak that was persuaded that there was nothing to salvation because of how people lived at the workplace, at the school place, in the community that professed to be saved. I've had young people, listen now, I've been in the ministry a good long while, I've had young people to tell me, and I can quote it, I can still hear them say it, preacher, if what mom and daddy's got, some of them would mention both, some would mention mama, some would mention only daddy, and they would say this, if what they've got is salvation, I don't want nothing to do with it. You know what that means? That means that mama, daddy, or both is living a hypocritical life. They're one thing at church, they're another thing at the house, and their children don't have any confidence in them nor in the gospel. Because they're measuring salvation by what they're seeing at the house. And they've told me, Brother Fultz, I'm telling you, they've told me. And they were meaning it. I don't want nothing. If that right there is what salvation does for you, if that's what it does for you, I don't want nothing to do with it. Shame on any of us, my friend, that will be a stumbling block in the eyes of sinners. It don't matter, preacher, how we live. Show me that in the Bible and I will eat the page it's on. It's not in the Word of God. Amen. I'm saved by grace. The unmerited favor of God. You know that's Bible. I'm saved by the grace of God through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's my salvation. But now whether I win, just say if Brother Samuel was lost, if I'm going to win him to God, that's not going to come through grace. It's going to be coming through how I live. I'm saved by grace. I get to go to heaven because of that. But I want to tell you, I could be the fault of somebody else missing heaven. And I promise you, if you get out of line and say things that you ought not to say and do things you ought not to do, I promise you the devil will see to it that a sinner sees it and a sinner hears it and a sinner knows it. Oh yeah. Oh yes. We should, listen, Lord give this to me last night. We should be the gospel personified. People ought to be able to look at your life and see the gospel. I want to ask you, is there any gospel coming out of your life? That's a good question. That's a Bible question. I'm asking you, do you think there's any gospel? Do you portray, do you present in your life, in action and conduct, do you present the gospel? It's getting quieter by the second. Let me give you another verse. What about Philippians 1:27? Philippians 1:27, everybody listen to this verse. Only let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. There you are. You want a proof text? Write her down. Right there it is. Philippians 1:27. God says my life and my conversation and my conduct and my behavior and my practice ought to be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Say amen right there. Yes, amen. That's what Paul's talking about in Romans 6 when he said we're buried with him and we've raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And then he said, and walk in newness of life. Everybody, we baptize right up there. We plunge them down into that watery grave, depicting that they're dying to their old life. They're identifying with the death of Jesus. And when we raise them up, it is portraying that they are, that they're raising up in life. And when they start walking out of the baptistry, I usually quote that statement, thus walk in newness of life, as Romans 6 tells us. No, the baptistry waters don't save you. There's plenty of scriptures that says that very plainly, very clearly. But it is picture form. That is a sermon in action right there. You're saying by going down, I've died to my old life. My old life is dead. And I've been raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And I'm going to walk in newness of life. You claim to get saved and you're still walking the same old life, you're not saved. And that's not judging you, that's reading the mail. The tree's got apples all over it, it's not judging to say it's an apple tree. If there's fruit in your life that says you're still living the old life, you're still after the old desires, then I have every right to say that you're not a new creature in Christ. Because if you're a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. Let your conversation, that word conversation never in the New Testament means your vocabulary. It includes it. It includes it, but it's talking about, in the definition, you can look it up for yourself, it means your behavior. It means your behavior. It means your manner of life, your conduct. Oh, God, come on. Let Preacher Ackley preach just a minute. It means to act as a citizen. Oh. To behave as a citizen. Now that meant something to the church at Philippi. They were 650 miles away from Rome. Everybody listen, this is good stuff. Philippi, the little town of Philippi, was 650 miles away from Rome. But yet it was a Roman colony. It was a little piece of Rome transplanted in a distance. You didn't have to go to Rome to find out what Rome was about. All you had to do is go to Philippi, because Philippi was a little colony of Rome 650 miles away from Rome. I don't have time to turn there, but you can turn over to chapter 3 of Philippians and you can find where Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. That meant something to the Philippian believers. Start to say Philippine believers. It meant something to the church of Philippi. It meant something to them. We're citizens of heaven. Heaven's a long ways off, but we're a little colony of heaven on earth. The church is a little colony of heaven on earth. Is there any gospel coming out of your life? Is there any gospel coming out of your behavior? Is there any gospel coming out of your mouth? Amen. That's right. God's people, I'm telling you, listen, the way you talk is attached to how you walk. If you got a carnal, filthy mouth, amen, and I had one when I was lost. I'm telling you, I had a filthy mouth. It was a shame and disgrace how I was raised. I mean, I was raised right, but how I was turning out was terrible. And I want you to know, friend, I didn't learn a filthy mouth from mom and daddy. I have never heard my mama or my daddy in any time curse, never, or cuss, ever what you want to say. Never heard them. Never heard them. Were they perfect, Brother Clapper? No. Did they raise perfect children? Almost. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But I've never heard my daddy tell a filthy joke. Never heard mama tell a filthy joke. No. I didn't learn that from them. I learned it from them heathens that I went to school with and them heathens that I played with in the community. Had a filthy mouth, Brother Silas. I mean, it was awful. But why did I have a filthy mouth? I had a filthy heart. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm telling you, before God, and I magnify His grace, when God saved me January 20th, 1981, 34, almost 35 soon, January will be 35 years, not one time, to God be the glory, not one time has a curse word ever slipped out of my mouth. Never even come close. I didn't even have to bite my tongue and catch it. Shame on any kids that learned how to cuss and tell dirty jokes from their parents. I'm going to tell you, it's just me. It's just me now. Because I know what God's done in my heart. I know the change that come in my life. I don't have any confidence in a person's salvation that has a problem with that. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That word becometh means let it be the same manner of, worthy of, weighing the same, suitable to the gospel. Let your behavior be suitable to the gospel. Why? Because as you live your life in front of sinners, they should be able to see the gospel in you at what Jesus can do for them. Listen to this right here. I'm done. Romans 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Listen to this statement. It never stuck out to me till yesterday. Separated unto the gospel. Paul said, I was separated unto the gospel. That's why the devil fights you being a separated Christian. And when I'm talking about separated, I'm talking about separated from the world. Touch not the unclean thing. You know why the devil fights that? I'll be done in a second. You know why the devil fights that in your life? You know why he don't want you to be a separated person in your behavior, in your modesty, in how you dress, where you go, the music you listen to, and 100 other things that could be added to that list. You know why he don't want you to do that? He don't want you to be separated unto the gospel, because God knows that out of your life is going to be presented and personified to the world the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And if you're not separated unto the gospel, there will be sinners that will not see the gospel and they will not hear the gospel. And let me say this. If sinners don't see the gospel, it probably won't do them much good to hear the gospel. Somebody needs to write that one down. Until sinners sees the gospel in the life of a believer, there's no really much need of them hearing the gospel because they're not going to have any confidence in it. Amen. Let's all stand our feet. Our Father, we come in Jesus' name.